Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As promised here in hour number two, we have completely got you covered with NBA free agency. Of course, July 1st, it is finally here, and that means teams are negotiating with players starting today. And of course, plenty of attention will be on superstar free agent Kevin Durant. We all are waiting and wondering on what ultimately he is going to do. A true pleasure to have back with us from Basketball Insiders, that of course is Steve Kyler. You can check them out at basketballinsiders.com. And of course, this interview is being brought to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click today and find out what you can save. Good evening, Steve Kyler. How are you?
Alyssa, I'm well. How are you?
Well, I am so excited because this is a really special time of the year. And first and foremost, right off the top, who's going to win the Kevin Durant sweepstakes? Warriors, the Spurs, or perhaps the Thunder? Will he stay there?
Well, he's got six teams that he's meeting with, and started off with the Thunder. They got the first meeting. You know, it's going to play out all weekend, so we'll probably get to a real conclusion come, you know, late Sunday, Monday. But the pitch is basically this, that, you know, I think the prevailing thought is the Thunder could win this out and, you know, keep him, you know, all the way up to this. There was kind of this narrative that he was going to, you know, do a one-in-one deal like LeBron has done, one guaranteed year and a player option deal, and kind of saddle himself to the Thunder for one more run and line his free agency future up with Russell Westbrook. But, you know, as we've gotten closer to this, you know, people inside Kevin's life have said, you know, he really didn't enjoy this process, that, you know, the constant speculation of his future was a distraction, both personally and professionally. He felt like it was a distraction to his team, and that he just doesn't want to go through this again. So, you know, some of the seriousness of some of these suitors isn't so much about, you know, the next season. It's about the next four seasons and who can give him the best opportunity to compete for a championship right away, but also in the long term. And that's where teams like the Warriors and the LA Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs and even the Boston Celtics, you know, have a real good pitch for him. And, you know, that's why his camp has told all of them that nothing has been decided and that he is going to kind of look at this very, you know, seriously and going to make his decision. You know, we people, you know, when you talk to other executives, they still feel like he's Oklahoma City's player to lose. But when you really factor in that you don't know what Russell Westbrook's going to do, they've changed the team up a bit already. You know, what does the long term of the Oklahoma City Thunder look like? It's one of the reasons why they're out looking at other players today, too.
Hey, Basketball Insider Steve Kyler is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're zeroing in on Kevin Durant. And let me ask you this. How nervous should the Thunder be about Durant's decision to meet with other teams?
Well, they feel pretty good about where they are with Kevin because of how much they know about Kevin. You know, when you bring up, you know, a guy for 9 years and he's been in your organization and you started from the bottom and got all the way to the top with him, you know, they've built their organization around Kevin. They've developed a culture that's around Kevin. You know, they truly understand and trust. It's also one of the reasons why at the trade deadline you didn't hear a single peep about the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to trade Kevin Durant versus, you know, maybe losing him in free agency, because they trust him, they know him, they understand that he'll communicate what's real for them and give them an opportunity to kind of do the right thing. So, you know, they like where they are, but I just don't think any team likes, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green coming in and saying, come be part of this, or, you know, the L.A. marketplace coming in with, you know, Doc Rivers, who's a very compelling salesman in the room, you know, that could, say, be part of a big four, which the Oklahoma City Thunder can't offer. You know, so it does become real. There's no question this thing is real for the Thunder, but they're not panicking and saying, oh, we're out of it. In fact, I think when you look at the trade that they made on draft night to bring in Victor Oladipo and Ersan Ilyasova and Domantas Sabonis from the Magic, you know, some of that was about giving a more attractive picture for Kevin, but it also sets them up for life without Kevin. If he makes the decision to leave, you know, they've got some young guys to build around. So, you know, ideally they want to keep him. There's no question about that. But, you know, if he makes a decision for himself that doesn't include the Thunder, they're ready to move forward too.
What is that number one criteria for Kevin Durant? Is it all about how quickly he will win a title?
Well, you know, he's in a great situation. One, he's made a lot of money in his basketball career, but he's also made a lot of money off the floor. You know, one of the highest endorsing guys for the last couple of years, just signed a $300 million Nike deal that included a $200 million upfront payment. So Kevin doesn't have to make a financial decision. That's not what this is about. It's about team. It's about culture. It's about ability to win. It's about being in a place he wants to go to work every day, and that's kind of the thing about Oklahoma City. He likes being in Oklahoma City. He likes the small-town feel. He likes the fact that it's about team and community and culture and not about a lot of other things. And, you know, so he's very focused on you know, and I'll say it this way, Alyssa, who am I going to live with for the next 4 years? He wants to know that and understand that, have a comfort level with that.
Because, right.
You know, in an NBA season, you know, you're spending 170 days elbow to elbow with other people. You got to like who you play with. And, you know, that's something that's very big for him. The coaching matters. I think that's why the Boston Celtics are in this. I think proximity to being able to win and win big matters. I think it's the reason why only teams that were in the second round of the playoffs are in this, and why teams like the Lakers and the Knicks are not, is because he's not looking to go be part of something that we're 3 years away. He wants to be part of something that's 1 year away, meaning next year, and stay there.
Hey, Kevin Durant, he's not going to meet with the Washington Wizard. Were you surprised that he didn't give his hometown a shot?
Not really. This one was kind of telegraphed a little bit. I know everybody bought into it. It was kind of the narrative for about 2 years that he was coming home. He was coming home. He's got, you know, a tattoo across his back that says Maryland. That's probably as big as his jersey letters. But, you know, the pressure of playing at home, and you're seeing this play out with Derrick Rose, you know, in Chicago. One of the reasons why I think he'll flourish a little bit in New York is that, you know, the pressure to be great around friends and family and to deal with all of the people that are asking and wanting to be a part of, you know, becomes a distraction in and of itself. You know, I'm close with a player who recently signed with his hometown team and said, aren't you happy to be going home? And he's like, no, I got to change my phone number. Mm-hmm. I got to, like, look away when people walk towards me.
Sure.
It does become a very big burden that some players just don't want to handle. And when Kevin comes through Washington, it's a small circus for 2 days, and I don't think he wants to live that every day of his career.
Hey, basketball insider Steve Kyler is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Steve, reach out to our audience. You connect with them. Tell them where they can check you out.
Well, we'll be covering all of free agency of basketball insiders. We've also got, you know, Summer League in Orlando that kicks off tomorrow, so we will, you know, certainly get underway, you know, on Saturday with all of that. So there's a lot going on in basketball. We have it all at Basketball Insider.
Okay, so the Knicks are not on the page for Kevin Durant. What is going to be their focus and their offseason priorities?
It looks like they're getting Joakim Noah. You know, I think Joakim is really close to that one. That one, I think, is probably the easiest of all the free agents to peg. You know, there was a midnight meeting on Friday night with him, and, you know, all signs point to they're going to get a deal done. So that'll be the first big move for the New York Knicks, and they're going to kind of shift their gears towards, you know, shooting guards. So a lot of guys mentioned to them, Evan Turner, Courtney Lee, you know, Kevin Martin, Jamal Crawford. So they're going to shore some things up pretty quickly. But when you combine adding Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose to that team, especially if both of them are healthy and productive, they've got a really good shot. And I think Derrick Rose is going to have a resurgent year with the New York Knicks. They're all the things just kind of point to. He's going to be a free agent. He's got every reason in the world to play every game. And I think the pressure comes off him a little bit. And I think there's more help for him, more complementary help for him. Him and Jimmy Butler were awfully similar players in terms of how they went about the game. The fact that you've got a different look in a Carmelo Anthony, a different look in a Kristaps Porzingis, different look, you know, and certainly a different role for Joakim Noah, all of that's going to look very different for Derrick Rose, and I think we'll see a really good year out of him.
NBA free agency, it is underway. Always a true pleasure to catch up with Steve Kuyler, who does an outstanding job. Go to their website, basketballinsiders.com. Thank you so much, Steve.
Anytime.
Much more in hour number two coming your way right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show in hour number two. And I tell you what, the countdown is on for the Summer Olympics in Rio. And this weekend, or actually this week, USA Basketball announced the men's 2016 USA Olympic team that will be seeking its third consecutive Olympic title. And very excited. They've got a lot of depth. And of course, they're being led by Duke's head coach, Mike Krzyzewski. Coach K, always a true pleasure to have back with us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp, former University of Texas assistant coach, the great Lee Klein. How are you, Lee?
Oh, doing great. Doing awesome. You know, we got the under 17s are happening right now.
Wow.
And many of the college coaches are there at the World Under 17s, and it's the next great college player, there's a good chance is playing, either for us or for some country right now in that. So that's happening in Barcelona. And then lo and behold, we'll have, our guys will be working out in Vegas and getting ready for their trip to Rio.
Yeah, and so USA Basketball, they unveil this 2016 Olympic roster. There's no Steph Curry, LeBron, or, Russell Westbrook, but it still is a formidable group. I mean, do you truly, in your heart, do you believe that they can win it all?
I do. Now, and the pressure to win it all is a lot greater here for the U.S. team than anyone. Now, this could be Coach K's last run at it, so that's an interesting subplot. But the we're a country of 300 million. We're going to play, our competition, if you will, countries, a lot of them are a lot smaller, 15 million person countries. So we've got a lot of talent here. We got bigger numbers. And now, can we put together the best team when you look at it and you see, you got some new faces and new leaders, and you see if we still have what it takes to capture the gold.
Hey, the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp is with us, Lee Klein at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he has his seasonal radio show here talking college hoops. But as we are zeroing in on USA Basketball, I think it is remarkable that so much of the focus has been on the players that are not playing, that are not a part of this team, as I'd mentioned earlier, in Curry, LeBron, or in Westbrook. You have to wonder, too, who's going to be in that starting five?
Coach K does a great job getting guys involved and playing a role and embracing it and not worrying so much about that. But to me, this is critical when we talk about guys like Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant. You know, for them to win in Rio is important. You know, they weren't just coming off an NBA title. So, this is their title to win. So it's important for them to, I think, individually, they want to go and get this and do it for them and do it for the USA.
Lee, who do you think will be the biggest threat or contender? I mean, I know in years past it's always been Spain, and Spain has really been, the second-best team.
Yeah, and I don't know the full rosters on all the teams, Spain and France and Brazil. We've seen now a lot of quality NBA guys coming from, and playing for these other countries. Who's going to be in? I haven't looked at their rosters to see. Is Tony Parker playing for France? Is, the Gasol's playing for Spain? Who does everyone have? But I think, to me, you know, the toughest, you know, the former, if you will, you know, the Serbia, Croatia, Lithuania, you know, these are all, you know, Turkey, they are all playing, you know, they're going to give you everything they have. You're going to have to play your A game. And, you know, I think that it'll probably come down to beating Spain for the gold. But, any of these other teams we just mentioned have a chance to knock out and be in that moment to play for the title. I can't see the USA falling short of the title game in any scenario.
I think what's really cool is Kyrie Irving. We were talking about this earlier on the show, being reunited with his former head coach, Coach K, who's, of course, Kyrie. He spent 1 year at Duke before beginning his NBA career, and this is going to be his first Olympics.
Right. And for guys, you know, when it's your first time and doing this, this is a magical thing. Of course, he only played about seven games in the Duke uniform. But now it's, you know, this is, he has a chance to kind of ride this momentum from this incredible championship series and sort of step up into this, he's the preeminent guard in the country. And maybe that carries over now. And we're not and when we talk about for the NBA season, you know, maybe it is, we're starting to get this era of Kyrie past now, you know, the Westbrooks and the Stephen Currys and a lot of really good guards. But now Kyrie's got his chance to really make a run at it.
Well, this is a team that certainly has a lot of versatility. Many of these players, Lee, can play multiple positions. But I have to wonder, you know, what I'm thinking, you know, what's going to be Coach K's toughest challenge? And essentially, I mean, you've got a new group coming together. There's not a lot of equity that's been built up with this group. And there's some big personalities on the team. When you start talking about DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan, I mean, my goodness, that's quite a task at hand, right?
Yeah, and blending those personalities and getting guys to accept, you know, guys that have always been stars, accept a portion of your minutes, be happy with it, bond for a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. I wonder if the other country's going to do the hack of Jordan and impose that.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Hey, Lee Klein is back with us, the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp. There's so much that I want to get into tonight. But your perception of this year's Olympics or the Rio Olympics, I mean, how concerned should we really be about the Zika virus and just all the security concerns? Because we've, you know, obviously Rio's been hit really hard this year. But, I mean, a lot of folks are participants are withdrawing.
Well, I think the two things, the most concerning thing is what we just saw in Istanbul. You know, the world's a scary place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're traveling international and you have a huge event like this, you know, you're representing your country. It's a lot at stake, and it's sort of a little bit nerve-wracking in doing it. And all you need to add this Zika virus or something like that,
mm-hmm,
to give guys, you know, people a reason to say, hey, not worth it, not worth the risk. And fortunately, again, we have enough people here, we'll get somebody that's willing to go. But it's important for the Olympics to be successful and the U.S. to be successful because of where we are in the sports hierarchy. And then the other part is the world that we want to know and live in. The world, you know, we're a safe world where you have this, you know, the pursuit, the storyline, the resiliency, what's been overcome. It's so important that the Olympics happens because if not, you know, when we lose that aspect of the world, then we, you know, we're giving up freedom and a lot of these things that, you know, the other countries are really jealous about. So it's important. It's also an opportunity to, you know, to handle things with class and to understand, you know, the greater purpose of having peace on earth and you know, in the spirit of competition.
Definitely. Hey, the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp, Lee Klein, has been with us. Always a pleasure to catch up. And you stay hydrated because all these basketball camps, I mean, you're going fast and furious these days, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, stay hydrated. And we're finishing up with a great group of kids here, five, and we'll get started again tomorrow.
Very good. I look forward to our next conversation. That, of course, was Lee Klein, the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp. Stick around. Hey, we're getting ready to tee it up. Dr. Bob Rotella, well-known sports psychologist, he's going to break it all down for us here in just a moment at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
listening to the Big E Sports Show
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Hey, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is the July 4th weekend and golf season. It is in full swing, and we're always looking to take our game to the next level. Tonight, we have invited back on our show renowned sports psychologist to the game who works with many of the world's leading golfers and top players. That is the great Dr. Bob Rotella. He is here to discuss the mental aspects of the game and how we can think like a champion and overcome fear in those pressure situations. Also, I've invited him on to get his takeaways on the U.S. Open and how Dustin Johnson did not allow the penalty to impact his ability to win his first major championship, and he focused on the task at hand. Good evening, Dr. Rotella. It's such an honor to have you back with us.
Good to be with you, Alyssa.
Well, there's always so much we want to discuss when you're on the program, but first and foremost, what was your reaction on how the U.S. Open played out and Dustin Johnson, his first major win, by ignoring all the noise? What lessons do you think we learned?
Oh, I think you got to give Dustin a lot of credit for not letting the ruling or the indecision about the ruling bother him. I think that's a sign that he's maturing as a player, that's for sure. I thought Rory McIlroy said it best when he said, "If that ever happened to me, I'm just going to tell the rules official, well, I'm not hitting another shot until you tell me what the decision is." I think that would probably be a really good way to handle it. I think it may have even been more difficult for the players who were, you know, a shot behind Dustin because they didn't know what to do, which was unfortunate. It was kind of a crazy deal, and you just got to give Dustin credit for not letting it affect him.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, DJ responded to the adversity, but you talk about, you know, Shane Lowry, who was the leader and had that meltdown, and he admitted that the penalty fiasco impacted his play and his ability to close out for a win. And let's not forget, he opened the day, what, 4 shots ahead of Johnson and ended 3 shots behind. So take us through, I guess, give us your perspective. I mean, when a major distraction happens on the course like that, how should you respond? Where do you take your mind?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example of Jim Furyk, who ended up finishing second. I mean, we really worked hard on any time you start thinking about the outcome or you're distracted by anything, that you just have to walk away and break up grinning at yourself. And basically, you know, we had Jim just say to you, "Look, you silly son of a buck, forget about that. Take a deep breath and let's just get back to doing your routine on the next shot until you run out of holes. If we run out of holes, we'll find out how it turned out." Because, you know, well, I mean, Dustin's a good example that you don't really know where you stand because of that ruling. But a lot of times in golf, you don't even know if the leaderboards are correct. You know, and like if the leaderboards are wrong, it's not like they say, "Oh, well, sorry, we'll give you your strokes back or something." I mean, so there's a lot of times where you don't really know. You know, some players find they can look at leaderboards and do fine, and a lot of players on tour don't look at leaderboards. But you better know if you can handle it. If it's going to cause you to start trying harder, then it's not a good idea to look at.
Do you advise the players that you work with to avoid looking at the leaderboard so that they stay in the present, they stay in that moment?
Yeah, I've certainly taught a lot of players to do that. But every once in a while, I'll run into a player who'll say, "Oh, I'm so inquisitive. If I didn't look at the boards..." Well, to me, the question is, can you look at the boards and continue to give every shot your best? Because the urge is to start looking at the boards and getting competitive and start trying harder or going to sleep because you got too big a lead or something instead of just staying even keel, which is what you'd like. So, I mean, to some degree, you got to know the player and you got to have a really frank discussion about whether it's going to help you or is it going to hurt you. But you better know by the time you get to the U.S. Open, that's for sure.
Hey, well-known sports psychologist, director of sports psychology for over 20 years at the University of Virginia, the great Dr. Bob Rotella. He is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I think back to one of our earlier conversations when you were on our program. We were talking about and highlighting the book that you had released 2 years ago on how champions think. And one of the points that you brought up in the book is just the importance of patience on the golf course. And anytime you have that urge to make an aggressive play or go, that you need to go for the more conservative one.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. You not only have to be patient with your strategy, but you have to be patient, like when you hit a perfect putt and it doesn't break the way you thought, or you hit a perfect putt and it hits something on the green and bounces right and doesn't go in, or maybe you hit the best wedge you've ever hit in your life and it flies a foot too far and goes over the back of the green and you make a double. Or sometimes you have to be patient because you're 5 under and you get a 2-hour rain delay right when you were feeling great. Or maybe you have players in your group, you know, that are playing way slower than the pace you'd like to be playing at. You know, there's so many things that happen around, but it's hard to explain to people how much patience is involved in golf. I think the greatest misconception is most people understand that the better you get at golf, the better your skills get, the more patience you're going to have, because you go to the driving range or the pitching area and the putting green, and you look so good, it's unbelievable, and now you get on the course, and, you know, everybody misses quite a few shots every round. And you have to be patient with yourself and the game. It's a game of mistakes, and that's never going to change.
Could you provide an example, the best example of patience that you have certainly witnessed in the game of golf?
Well, I we're talking to a station from Texas. I was at Tom Kite.
There you go, Texas, probably, you bet.
Probably played in something like 22 or 3 U.S. Opens before he won one at Pebble Beach.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we're talking about Dustin Johnson, you know, playing in maybe 8 or 9 or 10 of them, and he kept believing when he got close a bunch of times. Well, I mean, to believe you could win the U.S. Open, I mean, that's a different kind of patience, but you have to be patient and persistent in your belief a lot of times. Even though you don't get it the first 20-something times you believe you're going to win, and finally you get it. And a lot of people give up before they get there.
And that, of course, was in 1992 when Tom Kite won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone would agree it'd be easier if you were Jordan Spieth and won very early in your career, won a Masters and a U.S. Open. You know, I mean, that would be nice, but it doesn't happen to many people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, just a few more minutes with Dr. Bob Rotella. We know him well, a sports psychologist, and as I said earlier, the director, former director of sports psychology for 20 years at the University of Virginia. The Rio Olympics, well, what are your thoughts on the number of withdrawals that we've seen due to the fears of the Zika virus? I mean, we're seeing several of the world's top golfers pull out of the Olympics. I mean, I certainly understand their perspective. I can empathize with them. I mean, from Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and even Adam Scott.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think everyone's, you know, saying it's the Zika virus. I when you talk to people from Brazil, it's like not that big a deal. And there have been people, you know, in Pennsylvania, there have been people in, you know, many in Minnesota that have had it. Some of it is it's a very different thing. I mean, the Olympics, they're probably going to have to stay in an Olympic village rather than some elite hotel. They may not get a lot of tickets for free to other Olympic events. I mean, I've found that out from working with other Olympic athletes. Just because you're in the Olympics, it doesn't mean you're given all kinds of free tickets to other events. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like the accommodations. Some people are a little scared of kidnapping and other stuff over there. Some people didn't have it in their equipment contracts. And I think that some of the reason is golfers didn't grow up dreaming of winning an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, I hope
it doesn't cause the sport to get dropped from the Olympics, which I'm sure some people in the Olympic Committee are thinking about as a result of this. I think it'll still be a great event. I think some people wish the golf had been a team competition where if there's two players or three players from every country, that there was a total score and it was a team event. But, I think some people are young and they're worried for themselves and their wives and they just don't want to take the risk.
Well-known sports psychologist and best-selling author. He has produced some fantastic books over the years. Give me a quick hit. You got another book on the way? We're looking forward to it. Come on, Dr. Rotella.
No, I probably will do another one, but I don't have one ready yet.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us tonight right here at YSR. God bless.
All right. Great talking with you.
Yes,
take
sir.
Care.
Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. Thank you, Dr.
Yo!
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Baseball columnist and author of his new book, Toronto Blue Jays and the Big 50. We're going to highlight that here in just a moment. He is also a television analyst with Sportsnet in Toronto. We're talking about his Toronto Blue Jays. That is Shai Davidet, who is with us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. If you're just tuning in, hey, join us at Twitter. We're interactive at E Radio Sports. And you can always go back and listen to the entirety of this interview at podcastarena.com. And Shai, connect with our audience across the country. Where can they check you out online?
Well, I am on Twitter. Twitter handle S-H-I-D-A-V-I-D-I. And my work appears on sportsnet.ca, where I write a regular column.
I promise we're going to get into the book here in just a moment. Just a couple more questions. Give us an update on, you know, Marcus Stroman. You had mentioned him, his assessment of where he's at this point. I mean, he's fighting through, trying to muscle through some struggles. Some say they should give up on him as a starter and move him to the bullpen. What do you think?
I think, that, again, that's there's a lot of emotional knee-jerk reactions to, you know, five bad starts within within a span of seven outings. But clearly, he's in need of making a mechanical adjustment, and everyone knows what that adjustment is. You know, he needs to be on top of the ball, getting downhill plane. And mm-hmm. He went through some issues with that a couple of times in 2014, and he was able to make some adjustments. And this time, it seems to be taking him a little bit longer, so it's something he's going to have to deal with. But the Blue Jays have been talking about doing some other things with him, too, in terms of changing, maybe paring down his repertoire. You know, he had too many pitches. Too many of his pitches look similar, so trying to get some different looks. And that's going to be, you know, a process that may take a few starts for him. But the upside that he's shown as a starter, you don't just give up on that because someone's had a bad month. And, you know, that's in a lot of ways the age that we live in. It's what have you done for me this second? And, you know,
right.
There's a lot of emotion tied to every single game, and you know, hyper analysis of every single thing. And it's difficult to take the long view, but the long view here is that, you know, this is a key player who's had a bad month in the bit, and he just needs a little bit of patience and an opportunity to figure things out, which I think the Blue Jays are going to give him.
Okay, so let's move ahead. Let's talk about your new book, The Men and the Moments That Made the Toronto Blue Jays, The Big 50. It details just the entertaining history that the Blue Jays, you know, I know that the fans are going to find tremendous value in. Tell us about it.
Well, it's with the 40th season coming around, it was kind of a good time to take a look back at some of the best times for the Blue Jays have experienced as a franchise. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of useful because the Blue Jays made a lot of new fans who may not have been even born yet when the Blue Jays went through the so-called glory years,
right,
in 92, 93, and also the mid-80s. And I think for a lot of fans who were around during that period, the last year's run into the postseason stirred some memories, and so it's an opportunity to look at some nostalgic moments. And what I try to do was tell people some different stories and tell people some things they didn't know about people who were instrumental in shaping the franchise over the past four decades.
The Big 50, Toronto Blue Jays, the men and moments that made the Toronto Blue Jays. I want you to share with all the listeners, what did you talk about in terms of with the World Championships in 92 and 93? I mean, that's incredible, back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, so each one of those has their own chapter. Not in its entirety, but, you know, so a fair amount of the 92 chapter looks at, you know, what it took for the franchise to get there, and what it was like for the Blue Jays to actually scale that. You know, the Blue Jays experienced a lot of heartbreak between 85 and 92 getting there. There were so many missed opportunities, so many teams that probably should have done more that didn't. And
that in a lot of ways made 92 very cathartic, as much as it was joyous, because there was so much longing for it, and the buildup had been so big, and mm-hmm. there was some, you know, whenever you have struggles, you fail, that creates baggage. So, you know, there was some organizational baggage that was being carried at that point. And finally getting over the hump that night at Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta really allowed people to be free of it. And that was a lot of the focus on the 92 chapter. The 93 chapter focused a bit more on how it was just a lot more fun, because there wasn't that same longing, there wasn't the same angst. It's, you know, the mountain had been scaled, the peak had been reached, and it was all about, hey, let's try and get back there again. And, you know, the Blue Jays turned over a fair amount of their roster that year, or between those two seasons, and that group was able to get it done as well. And so it was a very different sort of championship for the Blue Jays. But each one obviously has a ton of meaning. And, you know, as they say, flags fly forever. And, you know, people have been longing for another one ever since.
It is a tremendous read, again, titled The Men and the Moments That Made the Toronto Blue Jays the Big 50. Congratulations, Shai, on your book. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Fantastic. First time on the show, and you were a fantastic guest. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
That, of course, was Shai Dubé talking about his Toronto Blue Jays. A very special thank you to all of our guests and, of course, to you for tuning in this weekend right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Enjoy your July 4th holiday, and don't drink and drive. We'll see you next week.